But let's move into this theme that I started last week of Epiphany. So why don't you listen along or turn on your phone? We used to say turn in your Bibles, but whatever app you're using. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 43, and then just a few verses out of the account of Luke's gospel of the baptism of Jesus. But Isaiah 43 is just a powerful passage that sort of leads us into the inauguration of Jesus' ministry, as well as a challenge in terms of the role of the church and the role of you and I. The kids, right. So Unati's not thrilled with staying in for the message. So the children are going to go with it, isn't it? It's Katlecho. Katlecho. So Katlecho, you stand up. Unati, run to Katlecho so that everyone knows who Katlecho is. And then the kids are going to go into the conference room with Katlecho. You go. Otherwise, I'm going to make you take notes, eh? Cool. There's someone else at the back that I think needs to go. So verse 1, back to Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire or dance in the rain, When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I'm with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring your sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and I made. And then Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, is a lovely just intro about John the Baptist, but I just want to read a few verses about Jesus' baptism. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." So this morning, I want to follow on from what I shared last week, and I'd encourage you just to catch up with that sermon as well. It's kind of customary at the beginning of every year for people to start with New Year's resolutions and goals and, you know, things they want to focus on for the year. Often you've eaten too much or slept too much and, you know, you have this like traditional thing, you're going to eat less and get fit or, you know, all these kind of things. So, I mean, everyone's aware of sort of these new resolutions for the year. And often it's the same with churches. We kind of say, well, this is what we want to focus on, or this is the highlight of the beginning of the year. But the ancient church calendar, the actual rhythms of the church year, which are different to our calendar that we celebrate, I mean, the Christian calendar starts with Advent at the end of November. And the beginning of the year, after Christmas, is this wonderful celebration that we focused on last week of what is called Epiphany. And it's the story of the Magi that come and bow down, bring their gifts, and they worship this newborn king, Jesus. And there's all this, and that's what I'm going to go, you know, recap the whole of last week's message. But there's a profound focus for the beginning of our year. And Epiphany is, it's simply a revelation. It's what the English word is, epiphany. It's an aha moment. And the aha moment is that God's Messiah, his son, Israel's king, has been born into this world. He is here for the salvation of our world, for the redemption of all the people to himself. And Epiphany is, this aha moment, Jesus, our King, our Savior, our Messiah. And the powerful message of this is that the first worshipers are these Magi, these weird foreigners from a far-off land, people that would have been excluded from the temple, previously excluded from Israel's worship. And Luke's gospel, particularly throughout, I mean, Luke is this message for the Gentiles. And so, the focus at the beginning of the year, every year in the rhythm of the church, is this focus on Jesus. Let Jesus be made known to the world. Let Jesus be revealed as King. Let's see Jesus anew and let's worship him afresh. So for me, as I shared last week and as we go into this week's message, that's just a vision for everyone. It should be the vision for the universal, this Catholic Church, every year. God's vision, his mission, is to make Jesus known. And that the world would see Jesus for who he is, and that they would worship him. Like the Magi, they didn't just bring their gifts, they bowed down and they worshiped. And so for me, I think that becomes again a focus for us and for each of us. So my challenge to you is, as we pray this morning, and as you go from here, that in the midst of, I don't know, John's going to want to run another marathon, and, you know, I don't know, Dylan's going to want to do another cycling race and all that. But in terms of our faith, let this vision be, we want to see Jesus afresh, anew, each one of us. But we want the world to see him as well. And the Magi represented the wise and the rulers and the previously excluded, that they would see Jesus for who he is. So it's a personal, so it's summed up. You know, one of these vision statements that churches often use, which I love, I think it works quite well, it's to know him and make him known. That is just it's a universal purpose for the church and every follower of Jesus, to know him and let him be known in your family, where you live, where you work, where you walk, in our community, in our country, in our world. Please, Lord, let that be our prayer, that the rulers of this world would see Jesus for who he is. So the focus for this week, the way Epiphany is in the early church, is a feast. It's a holy day, in a sense. It's often celebrated the first Sunday of the year in January, but this year it was actually on Monday. But it's also a season. And again, so the second reading and the readings that I shared this morning are in actual fact readings that are shared around the world throughout the church today. And this the sense of Isaiah, I just love this. I will give people in exchange for you, this prophecy about Jesus, nations in exchange for your life. And then there's another sense in which this is not just about Jesus and the launching of his public ministry at his baptism, but this is about us too. It's about our partnership in Christ's role, his mission, the mission of the Holy Spirit. Because we are still saying to the north, give them up, and the south, do not hold them back. We are still praying and desiring and crying out that our sons would come from afar and our daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name. And so as we look at the baptism of Jesus, this is not just about him, but it's about us. And how do we engage with the same theme? So the amazing, some of the clever people in the church for years have, they talk about the Missio Dei. And essentially, why I called this message For the Sake of the World, it was actually an album that I was thinking of and a song. But the Missio Dei is, this is God's mission. God is on a mission. He sent his son for the whole world, for the salvation of the whole world. The Spirit is still on this mission of calling these sons and daughters from the ends of the earth to come back to him. And the amazing, the incredible privilege is that we get to be a part of that. And so it's not about us being on mission. Often we say that as the church. It's about us joining in his mission. Whether we engage in his mission or not, his mission is happening. God has a whole world that he loves and is out to reclaim and redeem. But we get to participate in that. So I'm going to let, Gavin's going to carry on with that next week, because he sort of likes to every now and then talk about mission and God's role and what God's doing in the world and all of that kind of thing. But just in terms of our focus for the year, there are two things about Jesus' baptism that I found incredibly profound. Here is God's Son. Here is the Messiah, the King. You know, like the Father could have said, cool, let's have some bells or fireworks or, I don't know, lightning and thunder. Off you go. Get on with it. But Jesus participates in this baptism that is happening. And we can think about that. And Jesus doesn't need to be baptized for the repentance like everyone else was. But he participated in something, perhaps for us, for the church. And as he comes out of the water, and Luke, amazingly, Luke says, as he was praying. Because Luke is the gospel, more than any other, that highlights again and again the emphasis, the need for prayer and the prayer life of Jesus. Mark and Matthew are like, out of the water, boom, Holy Spirit comes. And Luke is like, as he was praying, he comes out of the water. Mark says it, you know, here I'm chopping. Mark, I love, Mark says the heavens are torn open. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him. So, I mean, just to get this at the outset of our year, Here is God's anointed Messiah being called, commissioned by the Holy Spirit for his ministry. How much more do we need as well to say we need to be immersed, filled, led, commissioned by the Holy Spirit? If Jesus was, then so too do each and every one of us. And this is not a once-off event or anything. This is a sense of, at the outset of our year, when we think of this theme of God wants his world to see Jesus. How do we do this without the Spirit? We cannot think that, you know, we're going to be different from Jesus, or we're going to do this by ourselves. As I said, it's not my plan. It's not your plan. It's not your work. It's his work. And it's his Spirit that'll lead us with Jesus into our world. See, you know, it's often, it's easy to think, oh, well, you know, preachers and pastors get to preach about this, and it's about church on Sunday, and maybe you're leading a home group, or maybe you lead worship, or you're running youth, or, you know, and we think of ministry like that. But, you know, the rest of us, well, we've got to go to work tomorrow morning. Yeah, and sit in the traffic, and be at school, things like that. That's not ministry. That's just work. But no. It's like we share this because that's where it is needed. Our aim, I mean, it would be nice to be a mega church with smoke machines and lights, and Alex is frowning, you know, and you know, the name of the game is get everyone to church and we'll put on the show and they'll all get saved. So that's one model. We don't do that so well. Yeah. You know? Our emphasis is like, you have a space in this world. You live somewhere. You have people that you relate to in your home, in your wider community, at work. How does God want to use you in that place this year? So Dallas Willard sort of repopularized something, because remember years ago we used to have those "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets. And he was saying, it's not bad, it's okay, we'll use that. But he said, the question is not what would Jesus do. So, you know, the prayer at that time was, okay, so now I'm going into the traffic. You know, my standing joke, taxi cuts in front of me. What would Jesus do? Because what would Wayne do and what would Jesus do? There's still a vast difference. You know? It's like, but Dallas Willard said no. He said, what would Jesus do if he was you, living your life in your role and vocation now? That's our prayer. And for every single one of us, that is unique and it's different. And I know, I mean, there's people that we could pray for this morning. You know, and there are people in positions, I think of, you know, it's like whether it's Jackie going to school, or, you know, Robin in her role with For the Voiceless, or Bev where she is, or John, or Francis, or Megan's got a powerful new job, and these different things, or whether you're running your own business at home, or whether you're just trying to sort of, you know, hold your family together. Every one of us has got this role, this position. And so the challenge is, Lord, would you anoint me, commission me where I am this year? And sometimes, some of you at the coalface, I mean, Bev had a meeting Christmas Eve. She was meeting with the finance minister. And like, she comes back sometimes, she's like, I feel like I'm in a war. And I think we need to be praying for things like that. Pray for John. I don't know. I was thinking, you know what I thought? I mean, so Trump wants to take Greenland. We should take Mauritius. Seriously? I mean, at least, John. Come on. You know, it's like, let's do that this year. You know? And I, you know, I don't know what he does in the military, but I think he organizes everything. So I think we should pray for John that we take Mauritius. Maybe we all just go have church in Mauritius next year. Because it's like a province. And you can take us on one of your ships. I still want to go on the submarine. Okay. So, but the point is, like, there's all these, it doesn't matter if you're, like, guarding our borders. Or if you're actually just trying to get the kids to school without killing them. Or in Jackie's case, actually just getting through the day without burying them in a classroom or, you know, something like that. But it's like, we too need this commission, this empowering of the Holy Spirit. And the amazing place to pray as well is that the voice from heaven comes and publicly, this audible voice says, this is my son, my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. And again, if the Son of God needed this affirmation, and it happens again in the Transfiguration, at the outset of his ministry and in the midst of his ministry, this affirmation is, you are my beloved. With you, I'm well pleased. I think at the outset of every year, in the midst of all our lives, we need that continual affirmation. School start this year, and school is an awful place. I mean, really. My grandfather said to me, my granddad said to me the one time, he said, school was the best years of my life. And I was like, kill me now. Really? And then when I finished school and I went into, I was like, no, hell, it wasn't. You know, and sometimes school can be it's a difficult time in your lives as teenagers and friends and what's happening there. And so, forgive me, Luke, maybe you're having an amazing time and it's the best time of your life, but it's a difficult time. You know, we used to do this thing at school when we were always, unfortunately, I participated in some sports. I wasn't maybe like Alan or anything like that. I could participate. And you know, we'd always like, we'd form teams. So you'd take the best two soccer players and then they would each start picking people. Do you remember that? Yeah, we did that and they'd start. So now you're standing there with your grade or your class and they're like, okay, we're going to play. Oh, Tommy, you know, he's got some ball skills. You know, maybe Jaden. And then they start looking at Wayne. Okay, so maybe Gavin. You know, and kind of that's how it goes. You know, and sometimes, like, all, you know, for those of us that weren't brilliant at sport, it's like all you want is not to be picked last. You know, you just don't, you just, Ben? Yeah, it's like, there's a last guy said, okay, well, you're on that team, because it's just that's how the maths worked. You know? I mean, it's just, it's all I'm saying is, you know, like, even today, so now we've got, you know, I know the schools here and there, we've got bullying policies because teenagers are awful. Okay? And, you know, and so even so, whether you're a teacher or whether you're a teenager, I mean, as we go into this new year, how much more the sense of we've been included in this kingdom team. that the Father says, you know what, it doesn't matter what this one says or this teacher says or that uncle or this friend. You are my beloved. With you, I'm well pleased. And I think for all of us, that affirmation changes everything. Because then we actually can be in the sense doing what God wants us to do, whether people like it or not. Because we're not doing it for them and we're not looking for the affirmation. There's a lot more I can say on that, but I think you get the point. I would like us to pray this morning. Pray for everybody. But I think there's some of us that are feeling maybe particularly anxious at the prospect of what's happening this next week. Engaging with work or school or even just in terms of, I don't know, maybe John, you've got to bomb some people. I'm being stupid, you know, but it's like, so even in your vocation, I don't know why I'm picking on you this morning. It's like, John sitting there going, we now have to invade Mauritius. Okay. But whatever these, you know, each of these things that we're facing, it might be family conflict or relationship or challenges. To receive just the sense of commissioning, not my strength, but your Holy Spirit. And this powerful sense of, God, I need your affirmation for this year. Not my boss or my colleague or whoever. First and foremost, I need the voice of the Father saying, I'm beloved. So let's pray. And I'm going to pray and pray for some people. And if you're in a position this year that you also saying, yeah, I would like prayer this morning. Then in a few moments, I'm going to ask you either to stand or raise your hand or something that we can pray for you specifically. So all of us need this continually. But it might be that there's something that you need prayer for today. So Lord, we welcome you and the presence of this risen King and the presence of your Spirit that wants to empower us and fill us and commission us for this year. And so, Lord, we just invite you to come. For each one of us, we confess, we say, we can't do this without you. We need you, Lord. And for every teenager that is going into school, engaging with school this year, we just take a moment, we just pray for you. And we say, Father, let our children hear your voice. That you choose them. That you speak your words of love and affirmation and belovedness. And we pray that each one of you would hear and respond to his affirmation above every other voice. And Lord, we say, would you come now and fill us again, commission us again for our role in your world. And so I ask you to come and